Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Mummy, a 1932 film directed by Carl Freund, and The Bride of Frankenstein, a 1935 film directed by James Whale. This was my pick. I just thought I'd continue our horror trend. We watched the two Nosferatus, and I've never seen these films before. I've only seen the first Frankenstein. So I might as well thought we'd give these a universal, the dark universe, a bit of a go. And my first thing I want to say is the titular Bride of Frankenstein is barely in The Bride of Frankenstein. What's up with that? She's literally in it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's more about Frankenstein wanting to get freaky.
He just wants friend.
Both of these movies are about guys, monsters, trying to get their in a relationship.
It's about Boris Karloff getting horny. He's in both of these. I guess that's like the conjoining.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that's what you were doing.
Yes. He's great in, and he's great in both of these. Yusuf, how do you, as a fellow Egyptian, I don't know why I say fellow, as an Egyptian, how did you feel about Boris Karloff?
I'll tell you okay. What the most I think fantastical element of the movie is that the British Museum was leaving stuff in the Cairo Museum. I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah.
I doubt that would ever fly.
No, we took it all.
We're not giving this back, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and just having been in the Louvre and seeing so much of our stuff there, I was like, wow, it's really well like curated and stuff, but damn, it's not right.
It's not,
I can't really
exhibit at all whatsoever across the ocean.
So that was on my mind when I watched it, but I don't know, I still enjoyed this. I know you have your problems with it, but what did you think of it?
I thought The Bride of Frankenstein was a much more engaging film to watch. I love the sets. They look so cool. I didn't know it was like direct almost, it picks up immediately after the last one left off. It's a direct sequel. And again, yeah, it's more about his character, Frankenstein character, Frankenstein's monster. I suppose he doesn't really have a name, right? He's just Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Why did they change the name? Like, was it always Henry Frankenstein? I thought it was Victor Frankenstein. What's the point in changing that?
Make it sound more American, maybe. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, copyright. Definitely copyright.
But if there's a copyright, why do they have the Mary Shelley like fourth wall little like opening, where it's just like, oh, like what do you think a sequel will be like? It's like, well, here I have a couple ideas. Like, okay, both are films off its time in that. It's interesting to see how these movies are paced back in the day. Because, like, you know, like, it doesn't have a traditional three-act structure. Not really. But it still kind of works, maybe because of its length. It's so short. Both of these movies are only, like, 70, 75 minutes long.
And, well, it's like the first decade of the talkies. They're still figuring out how to do a narrative spoken film. This is what you get. Which works pretty well, still holds up.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I was, like, actually enjoying it.
And Boris Karloff is scary and looks so cool in both of them. What a great performance. And what did you guys think about, in terms of The Bride of Frankenstein, there's that moment when he enters that blind man's hut. And I really like that. And there's and almost, like, kind of abundance of Christian imagery in it, with the crucifix and a bunch of that stuff. I was trying to figure out, I was like, oh, is there any other is it actually about something, or is it just supposed to be like a fun monster flick? Because he kills a lot of people for no reason in the beginning, the first 5 minutes of Bride of Frankenstein. He murders like five innocent townspeople.
It's in self-defense, though.
Yeah, if that's the case, why isn't the guy who created him in bigger trouble? Don't they know, like, it's like, oh, you create this murdering monster. He just gets to like go away. He's a white guy. He just gets to go away and get married.
That's right. is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought that the point of it was like him of it's like Jurassic Park, like, you know.
Right.
That's more the aspect that I found interesting. But the mummy was it wasn't like a moral tale at all. It was just like, oh, you know, there's a ancient curse. And it was like all the cliches in one movie.
Do you think it makes a case that these things shouldn't have been touched by Western hands in the first place? Do you think they're trying to get at that?
Maybe, actually, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's like because they're meddling with forces that they don't understand. Because the whole beginning is like, oh, don't read the scroll. Like there's like stuff associated with this that you just don't understand, and they go through with it anyways. Their hubris, I suppose, that takes over.
I like the him going crazy, like when the laughing, that was the
Yeah, that
perfect
was
reaction
great. That was
to
actually
the
kind of a little bit
acting.
creepy.
I was surprised by like the action was kind of, it was really effective.
And I still remember the line where he's like, "Let us go out under the stars of Egypt." That was
Yes.
such a good, like, old movie
Yes, that's so
line.
cool. It's the 1990, was 1996, The Mummy. I didn't know how much, it follows this very closely. It's basically kind of the same story. Him trying to revive the woman, and but they kind of made it more of an Indiana Jones, and they made it way scarier, the 1990s. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's 99.
With the scarab beetles going under people's skin. That was so cool. Like, that was so, that, I still remember.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that really scared me as a kid
Wait,
as well.
what was this?
The Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Oh, I haven't seen it. No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's one of
I've
those
so
on
I've seen
TV
the third
constantly.
one.
Oh,
The
wait, they're in
worst one.
China? Divorce.
Yeah.
They're in
Yeah,
China. It's
that's
like, why is
the
it so-called a mummy? They're not mummies.
I
What's
guess they
going
were
on?
sort of Chinese boys. So.
But it's not even the same. Like, it's sculpted soldiers, but they're not actual mummies. It's like, okay, whatever works. Yeah.
Whatever works.
Both of these films, what is, I like the idea of like all these monsters, like what they all want is something very primary, and the idea they all want a woman. They all want a beauty in order to, and they see that as like the key to their humanity. Especially with the Bride of, and what I liked about the Bride of Frankenstein is like it didn't work, right? When the moment they read like she's alive, she
Yeah,
sees
she's
them, she
like so
screams in
gross.
terror. Like, I want nothing to do with you. And the very sudden ending when he just like, screw it, we're all going down in this, and he blows up the tower. Very abrupt, but quite somber and sad. And I was like, oh, I was caught off guard by how tragic it was.
I enjoyed it though.
I thought the worst thing about The Bride of Frankenstein, it was the beginning where they're like, Mary Shelley, such a beautiful, frightened of lightning woman, how could she write such a terrifying tale of Frankenstein? It's like, Jesus.
That made me laugh, to be honest.
Was arguably the author of modern science fiction. Yeah, that's if you date it back.
And she wrote it when she was like 18, too.
That's crazy. What have you done when you were 18?
Nothing
It's also the
of
same
value.
act. Very fun move to cast this. The same actress who plays Mary Shelley in The Bride of Frankenstein is also the same actress who plays Bride of Frankenstein. I want more credit sequences where they put a question mark next to like the character as to who's playing it. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah,
Who did they
that'd
do
be
that
cool.
for?
Bride of Frankenstein. What is
They
it?
did?
Yeah, they put a question
Oh.
mark next to like the Bride of
That's
Frankenstein.
cute.
That was very, very cute. You can't do that anymore nowadays because it's all about star power. And you can the only place you can do that is the mid-credit sequence of an MCU movie.
No, you could
So.
do like there's a lot of surprise cameos now, right? That's like
Yeah.
a thing, gimmick now that people do. Or Brad Pitt will pop up in Deadpool or whatever.
Oh
But it's
yeah,
not the
well,
same. It's not
a
like a
lot of times
fan
gets
favorite thing.
spoiled in the trailer. Yeah, but. Anything else you guys want to add?
No. I'm good.
Fine films.
There's kind of an innocence about them, though. Like,
yeah, totally. Actually, that's a good point.
Like, the aim for kind of everyone, and somehow it still works for everyone.
Yeah,
which you can't like really do anymore.
They're just like these broad adventure films that are just like. That's kind of what I like about Indiana Jones. It's just made to be like fun.
It's meant to just be an adventure.
Yeah.
And we don't, I guess we don't really get movies like that nowadays. Like, oh, it just has to. What's the last, like, Indiana Jones-esque movie that we've gotten? Well, here's that, The Lost City, right? With the comedy that came out earlier this year. I guess that was, like.
Yeah, I suppose.
You kind of have these, like, standalone, like, little adventure cape little movies anymore. Without,
it kind of disappeared without a trace, The Lost City.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't even think there was like a torrent of it. Like, or like no one wants this.
Oh, there's still like one more Indiana Jones coming though. With Harrison Ford is somehow still in it. What is he? Is he gonna do it from like a hospital bed? What's he gonna do this?
I don't know.
Apparently, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is gonna be in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably gonna be. They're probably gonna like have her like take over the mantle. Which is really weird, because I really don't envision her as an action hero.
No.
Oh, well.
Well, she did the James Bond. Did she write it? The last she James
did.
Bond or something?
You can't tell, though. Like,
but it wasn't very good, was it?
The movie wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
No Time to Die.
Mm-hmm.
It was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we take a break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Step right up. Let's rate these films. Who wants to go first?
This is a tough one. I don't know.
All right. I'll give 4 stars to Bride of Frankenstein. I like the sets a little bit more, and it's a little bit scarier. And 3 stars to The Mummy, which is also fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
probably
I agree
do the
with
same.
That. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Well, speaking of a lack of originality, let's talk about what we watched this week.
Is this a first? Like, all of us giving the same rating? Maybe we've done it before.
This might
I
be
think
the first
so, yeah.
time, and
then
I'm someone to contradict each other. We watched 2 films this week. One's very, very good. The other is,
terrible.
You can't say it's terrible if you weren't conscious for most of it.
Yeah, well, one, they put me to sleep, even though it was too loud.
There was a reason,
and then after like half an hour, through the unconscious, you can know these things.
She was
but
slightly snoring. Very funny.
The half an hour I saw went on for way too long. So
if you haven't guessed yet, we watched Wakanda Forever. Which is something our protagonist literally shouts as she defeats the villain. I could not believe they did that. It was crazy. It's 3 movies stuffed into 1 movie. And I'm surprised it turned out as well as it did, given the logistical nightmare it must have been to make it.
And isn't the main one an anti-vaxxer?
And yeah, and also the fact that the person who's headlining the franchise now is apparently a vocal anti-vaxxer. Don't know how they're going to go through with that, but we'll see.
That's great for
the kids.
They
could just let Lupita Nyong'o take the role. I just don't understand why they didn't just do that.
They might have.
But they're still like, they might. It's still better than anything this phase of the MCU has put out, because Ryan Coogler tried. Unlike the Sam Raimi one, where it feels like Sam Raimi is the gun for hire, the sort of like, he's just doing it as like for the paycheck. It occasionally flourishes. Ryan Coogler tries to make this his own. It is the best looking one out of, like, shot visual wise out of all of them. The music is pretty good, but the story is not great. And Martin Freeman, and you probably don't know this, but Julia Louise Dreyfus, is that like her last name? She's in the MCU now.
Why?
And she shows up in this one. Yeah. And they were terrible. She's terrible. This is easily one of their worst performances I've ever seen from her. She did not care. Martin Freeman did not care. And the film still has to balance and acknowledge the passing of its main star.
A bit too much.
A little bit too much, but they kind of have to, right? Given the fact that, you know, it is.
Yeah, weird. But they just went on like all these flashback clips for like at least 20 minutes of the film altogether.
No, they were pretty tame with it. It's just the first like 5 minutes is like completely.
But I felt no emotion. Like the guy was an alright actor and other stuff I've seen him in, but like I felt nothing with what they were doing.
Well, the other film that we saw was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which we saw at TIFF yesterday. Really good. I really liked it. This is his Pan's Labyrinth follow-up. It's the closest thing he's made to Pan's Labyrinth. Childhood fantasy with a dash of fascism. He does this very, very well. And also there's like a combination of all the stuff he's done before. It's cool to see like Pinocchio, a story that everybody knows, and he still kind of makes it his own. His love for like monster designs and like fantastical environments, that all that is still present. Did you like it, Ishaal?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett plays a monkey, and she's really good at making monkey sounds. No, that's literally 99% of her lines is making monkey sounds. No, I don't know how they got her to do that. She's really good though. And yeah. I highly recommend it. Watch it when it comes onto Netflix. It's very sad, which I appreciated how sad it was. Yusuf, what have you watched?
I watched, and this is a surprise for you, Michelle, on the plane, Mars Attacks.
Oh, do you like it?
I liked parts of it. I mean, it's just like, I think I would have liked it more if I had seen it younger. It wasn't bad, though. It was a really fun movie, though. Jack Nicholson does an Eddie Murphy, plays two roles, or a Bride of Frankenstein. He plays the president and some other guy. I'm surprised by how much, like, how star-studded it was. Everyone was famous.
But I don't know if they were famous then. Yeah. And then they all just happened to be famous? I don't know.
Maybe. Natalie Portman was young, so maybe she was still not, like, too big.
It was after Professional Association, yeah.
But, yeah, it was fun, though.
Wait, Glenn Close is in it?
Yes, she's his wife.
Everyone is in it.
Annette Bening is in it, all the fuckers. That's crazy. Now I'm kind of interested in, like,
Jack Black is in it.
Oh, wow.
The only disappointment I had was that the Martians were computer generated, like the CGI.
Yeah, that ruined it a bit.
If it was practical effects, like, you know, Cronenbergian or early Tim Burton,
then,
like, this is perfect. But yeah, that's the only thing. It's so dated in that regard. That's it.
Oh, Yusuf, we also watched the new season of The Crown. And there's one episode we really would like you to watch because it's set in Egypt. Oh. And it's about, what's his name? Mohammed?
Fayed.
Fayed.
He's the dad of the person who Diana died with in the crash.
Yeah, Dodi or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Meets him and stuff in the episode?
Yeah.
There's an entire episode completely focused around his perspective. It's just about them.
I'm so curious about this now. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I want to kind of get like, do you think it's accurate or how's their Arabic sound? Like, I want to know all about that because it begins in Alexandria. So I was like, oh yeah, it reminds me of our episode in Akshay. And it looks a lot like it, and it felt like. I thought it was really interesting.
I'll totally check that out. I actually have been meaning to watch all of The Crown. I think it's an interesting show, probably.
This season is weaker than the last one, though. It's not as, like, interesting because...
Less...
At definitely. One point, I think... But that becomes, like, kind of the story is, like, how cyclical your problems are. Oh. I want to get divorced. I hate my wife. I hate my husband. Like, it becomes that. It's... The only problems in your lives, if you think about it. But
makes sense.
All right, shall we move on to our recommendations?
Let's do it.
Who wants to go first?
I can do actually something that's interesting, though, because you guys watched, what's it called? Pinocchio.
Yes.
I wanted to recommend The Shape of Water. I thought that was very similar to what these movies were.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
That works really
It
well.
works really well
Yeah.
because it has that creature. It's a good movie. Shot in Toronto.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he shoots a lot of stuff in Toronto. I think most of Nightmare Alley was also like just Toronto. It's really funny.
Just likes it there.
Yeah, he lives here, I think.
What?
Here, he's in Toronto a lot, so I'm gonna guess that he has some probably a house here or something. I want to recommend the 19. Oh, I should have looked it up. The 1997 Mummy, 1999
99.
Mummy. It's basically the same story, almost the exact same story, but they fused it with Indiana Jones, which is why I think Yusuf, you might just get something out of this and the sequel.
I'll try it. It,
But Brendan
it and
Fraser,
the sequel is good.
the sequel is just bigger and dumber, but it's still fun. They're both very, very fun movies. At least as a kid, I love both of them. I always watch them if they play, because they're always on TV, and I always tell my mother I want to sit down and watch it. She's like, "You've seen this before." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's cool. Like, there's beetles that eat people. It's the best." That's my recommendation. And Michelle?
I recommend The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Ooh.
Haven't seen that yet.
I'm pretty sure it's just like a Dracula story, but with like Germanist expressionist stuff to try and keep away from copyright.
We can't get it. We can't do that anymore, right? We can't. You can't make a movie. It's like just loosely change a couple of things.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a
I'm
good.
gonna make a movie called Georgia Jones, and it's about a girl adventurer who goes on archaeological adventures. All right. Well, that brings us to what we're gonna be watching next week, Michelle. It's your turn to pick.
So we're going to be watching The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under. Some animated mice for everyone. I think they're mice.
They're mice. They're
Yeah.
mice. All right. I'm looking forward to it. Well, that brings us to the end. Stay safe. Keep it real. And we'll catch you next time. I don't know why I paused.
Bye.
Bye.
The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sweetland, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El Bashir. Thanks for listening.